Today's episode of Rob as a Podcast is sponsored by Audible. I love Audible. I've been listening to audiobooks on Audible for the last couple of years. I've probably listened to 20 different audiobooks using Audible since we first started talking about them on the podcast. And it's the summer. It's a great time to work on your summer reading list or listening list. And that's where you can find out where Audible audiobooks can take you, whether it's a mystery, thriller, memoir, bestseller. I like a lot of nonfiction. Audible is there to turn even the dullest times into story time. Just download your books or shows to your mobile device and then listen anytime, anywhere. With an unmatched selection of audiobooks, original shows, news, and comedy, Audible's your best source for summertime entertainment. The app makes listening a breeze with features like chapter navigation and narration speed control. You can access your books and shows anytime, anywhere, right from your smartphone or tablet. If you have recommendations for me, for things I should check out on Audible, I always want to hear them. Use our hashtag AudibleRHAP. So join Audible today. Explore the world's leading provider of audiobooks, all beautifully performed by talented actors and narrators. So you could start a 30-day trial and download your first audiobook for free when you go to audible.com/RHAP to get started. That's audible.com/RHAP for a free 30-day trial and your free audiobook. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy, the original douchebaggo, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to our live recap tonight on the night before another Big Brother eviction here on August 17th, 2016. Got a great show because we've got a fantastic guest here with us, a huge Big Brother fan. Of course, you know him from YouTube and the Psychobabble podcast that he hosts with Tyler Oakley. And of course, the Amazing Race 28 Social Media Mogul Edition. Please welcome Corey Cole. Corey, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Better than Pauly. I'm better doing better than Pauly tonight.
Yes. I think we all are this week.
Yeah. Again, rocked by some of the scandals going on in the world of the Zingbot. I had no idea. I was I had endorsed the Zingbot, but now I am thinking about redacting my endorsement from the Zingbot campaign.
It's a tough spot to be in.
Yeah, it certainly is. Yes. Of course, joining us
it's a big election year.
Yes, yes, in this election cycle. And then to talk about everything going on in the Big Brother house and in the live feeds, of course, Alex Kidwell. Alex, how are you?
Doing good, Rob. You know, I touched on it a little bit on the Happy Hour podcast I did with Jordan on Monday, but, you know, I need a politician who's got a stable home life. And, you know, last I checked, Zingbot had a wife and a kid, and now here he is. He's hooking up with robotic interns. He's engaging in, you know, fraudulent emails. He's plagiarizing speeches. Like, not my president, man.
Yeah, the Zingbot has really been on a ride from, it was sort of like, I believe Big Brother 12 was the first time we saw him where he came to be, he fell in love, he had a kid, and then he was sort of like down and out, got divorced, was on Zinder. Now here he is running for office. I mean, he's like the Anthony Weiner of Zing politics.
He's dropping F-bombs too. I mean, he's really gone off the rail.
Yeah, he's all over the place, Zingbot. So hopefully he can get his life back on track, and good luck in the Zingbot election. All right, so we'll talk about the Zingbot and much, much more. Hashtag RHAP to get your comments into the show, and then also on our YouTube channel at robisawebsite.com/YouTube. All right, Corey, first off, great to have you here to talk about this. I know from Twitter what a big Big Brother fan you are, even from The Amazing Race when you were talking about how much you love Big Brother. What is it that appeals to you about Big Brother?
I mean, honestly, it's just been a show that, I mean, all three of the like big three CBS reality shows I've always watched growing up. It was just like a family thing for us. And I mean, what summers are the best because nothing else is on TV and you can dedicate an entire week to just watching Big Brother. I don't know what's not to like, Rob.
Yeah. Wow. And I'm just taking a look at your Twitter right now that maybe you might even be psychic where 1 week ago today you said tweeted you had a dream that you were the HOH and you put up Pauly and Corey up on the block, which is exactly what happened this week.
Yeah. I'm a witch doctor, and I've actually possessed Victor from, I mean, we're in LA, so it wasn't that hard.
Yes.
But, yeah.
You are the Melisandre to his Juon Snow.
Exactly. Juon Snow.
Yes. So, all right. So Victor, did what he came out to do and put up Pauly and Corey up on the block. And then really we had a Pauly in sort of like the five stages of grief, where he really went through all of them tonight, between the anger, the bargaining, the acceptance, ultimately by the end, whatever the other ones are, I'm sure were along the way. Did you feel bad for Pauly by the end of the night, Corey?
I certainly did not. I mean, I've read a lot on Twitter just about people comparing his game to past players and previous seasons and all that. And they're saying even some of the great players like Dan Gysling and Derek were never as cocky as Pauly was 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And I completely agree with it. It's a long way to fall, I guess, when you think that highly of yourself.
Yeah. Alex, did you feel like he got off easy on the edit from how he was from the point that they had the nominations until the veto ceremony?
Maybe a little bit. I mean, you know, kudos to the show, though. They didn't shy away on Sunday from kind of airing the real meat of kind of the idiotic comments he was making that really helped sink his game, you know, and really emphasized, you know, that great point Michelle makes, where it's like, I didn't blow up your game, you blew up your game. And I think that's something that Pauly has taken a long time to really appreciate and recognize.
Yeah, to me, just the ultimate irony in Pauly is that he even talked about tonight. He's like, I said, I'm going to play this game, and I'm going to be unemotional about it. I'm bred to play this game. That
when you're a born bred competitor, champion, a game, you put your passion behind that.
Yeah. And this is the same guy back when Tiffany was up on the block, where he was just going to go out of his way to throw her off her game right before the competition.
I decided to rattle her.
I'm going to rattle her. And then the rattler became the rattled by the end of this episode tonight.
I remember Tiffany was somebody who, you know, a big argument of why she had to go coming from Pauly was that she's an emotional player. You can't play with these emotional players.
Yeah. So Pauly ultimately that he got to he was very that he had a hard time getting to the understanding of what happened. We saw him really trying to change the minds of the people that did it. Corey, that what did you think of Pauly's pitches to his bros about why did they do this to him?
I mean, the thing I was wondering most was his like relationship with Corey was just like blowing my mind, because yeah. Everything they've shown us on TV is that it's PNP. And I mean, even that clip of Pauly confessing to Bridget that Corey was his number one. I mean, they just don't ever show Corey unless it's in the context of his relationship to Nicole. So I was actually kind of shocked that he had this bromance with Corey and that they're like crying in the bathroom together. But I mean, I'm glad Victor did what he did. And I think all of them should have just looked him in the eye and said, like, you were literally crazy a week ago when you were berating Natalie, and shit happens.
Alex, did you feel like that was the one true person for Pauly ultimately, that it was Corey?
Yeah, I think the fact that he's breaking down like he is in the DR shows it. And I think it really is, you know, it's the opposite of what he thinks he's. It's one of those moments where you're so emotional that you reveal that everyone made the right move by doing this. I mean, he says that, you know, by being this emotional, he proves to Paul that, you know, Paul was right to be suspicious of his relationship with Corey. He proves to a lot of people that the right move is to put him up on the block next to Corey when he says stuff like, I don't even know if I can compete against this guy. Like, well, that's why you do it, man. That's why the game is cruel. And you should know this because you've been playing it all summer and doing this to other people.
Yeah. Did you like the way that Victor handled his HOH, Corey? Has Victor become a favorite for you?
It's so tough. I mean, I have a hard time with Victor. I'm happy he did what he did. But it's just like he's saying all this about, like, yes, Pauly nominated him and backdoored him, and he was the reason Victor went home the first time. But it's like 2 weeks ago you were HOH, and you should have done this 2 weeks ago. And it's like, now he's bringing up like, I never forget. And it's like, you should have taken this shot 2 weeks ago if that was truly your intention.
Yeah, he totally
it's like,
forgot.
I feel like, yeah, Victor just needs, I mean, someone to tell him what to do. And I think Paul's doing a good job of being that person. Yeah,
absolutely. I'm not sure if the TV show ever did justice, Alex, to the amount of work that Paul had to put into getting Victor to make these nominations. Could you just speak a little bit to that point of what Paul was doing basically from Thursday evening until the nominations?
Yeah, I think we saw a little microcosm of the conversation on Sunday night that was a good representative example of it, where Victor is kind of saying like, man, I don't know, I'm going to get all these blood on my hand, all this blood on my hands. Why don't we just nominate, play it safe, nominate two of these girls? And Paul's like, dude, no, this is the week. It has to be done. If you didn't want to make the move, you should have thrown the HOH to me when it was down to the two of us. It has to happen this week, regardless of who's making the move. This is the play. And Victor basically eventually just, all right, man. Like, just Paul wears you down over time. And Victor's, you know, certainly reciprocative to Paul's ideas in this game because, you know, like Corey talked about, he's logical, he's rational, and, you know, he can carry out a plan, but he kind of does need someone to point him in the right direction before he can do anything here.
Corey, are you enjoying Paul this season? Are you enjoying the catchphrases? You're enjoying the friendship?
Paul, I am team friendship all the way. And Paul was actually one of my favorite players right from the beginning. And I feel like he took some warming up to from most of America. But I was going to say, yeah, I think even one of the first things I tweeted about this season was that I was rooting for him. And I think he's been playing a great game this summer.
He's definitely been a lot of fun. I really like that moment with the Zingbot tonight. And we can get to all of the zings where the Zingbot told him, you know, new catchphrase, shut the F up. Which was very, very fun.
Yeah.
Before we get to Zingbot stuff, I do want to talk through a little bit of that big moment that we had tonight where Paulie was getting into it with Big Meech and everybody around the table where he said, I recognize this plan. This is my plan. And they're using it against me. But for Michelle, she sat there up on the block two times on Thursday night. And while, yes, Paulie did try to get Big Meech out the first time around, she sat there the second time. She called Paulie out. She called Nicole out. And they voted out Bridget. And I know that doesn't necessarily change a lot of things. But don't you think that this week is going a little bit better for Paulie if they keep Bridget in the house instead of Big Meech?
Yeah, absolutely. I was kind of shocked watching it all go down too. But I mean, I think they just looked at Bridget as the more level-headed, strong competitor. I mean, I don't think either of those girls between Bridget and Big Meech have dominated in any competitions. What I think they each have one win apiece at that point when they're sitting on the block. But I was shocked that they ended up keeping Big Meech in the game.
Yeah. I tweeted this out earlier tonight. I feel like that Big Meech is going to have one hell of a YouTube highlight reel at the end of this season. That overall, over 95 days, I don't know if her game has been great, but she's had a couple of really shining moments here in these last couple of weeks between telling people off and a bunch of the stuff from the live feeds with Paulie. And tonight, she just had a really great episode.
Yeah, she's hashtag vomit crybaby. I mean, how can you not root
it.
For that?
Yeah, I think she's done a good job. For Big Meech, really, really coming into her own. Alex, anything to say about the evolution of Big Meech?
Yeah, I love it. I really, really like what I'm seeing from Michelle now. She's one of my favorite people in the house now. And it's crazy to me to hear myself saying that because week two, week three, all I was doing is criticizing her for being standoffish and mean and not really playing the game despite her, you know, super fan status. So I think, I don't know if it's something about kind of this idea in Big Brother where it's like you don't want to get your feet wet because you don't want to rock the boat. But then as soon as somebody has like your toes to the fire, it's like, all right, well, now I know what this pain is and it can't get any worse than that. Right. So once you've been in that spot where you're kind of staring your own life in the game in the face and you're able to survive it, now it's like what she has to be afraid of. You know what I mean? She can kind of like operate with a little bit of impunity in this game with the knowledge that like, well, I called out everyone there is to call out and I'm still here. So
Yeah. Corey, it's so ironic to me because we have where you had Paulie was so powerful a week ago. And I was saying here on the show, like, why is the most powerful player in the game spending all this political capital to get out somebody who is one of the three least important people in the House? Yet there he was. And now here is that same person just completely mocking him on the way out the door. I mean, Big Brother, there is a catharsis there in watching this show that I don't think you get from a lot of other things on TV.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Big Meech was a little invisible until she won the OTEV veto.
Yes,
it's like then suddenly she has a nickname and we're hearing how the other contestants are reacting to her. And it's like, once they started actually showing her playing the game, I mean, with the crying and the vomiting all put aside, I have been a fan of hers just because she is kind of real with what she says. I mean, how many girls would be on that show and say, listen, I was jealous of Bridget because she's buddy-buddy with Frank? I mean, no other woman on this show in any season would admit that that's why they don't like another girl in the house. So, I mean, I've always kind of been Team Michelle and given her some props, and I'm glad she's going to keep telling it like it is.
Yeah, she's owned it. She's owned it that was not necessarily something you want to come out with, that the reason why I was mean to another person for 2 months was because I wanted to be friends with the returning player. But she kind of owned it. And even like when Paulie tried to say, you should hear what Michelle was saying about you, she was the worst. It's like, but she's fine now. Who cares what she said?
Yeah.
So she's really come into her own. So good job for Big Meech. So Corey, do you have somebody that you're pulling for in this season?
It would definitely be Paul. Like I said, he was one of my favorites from the beginning, and I've just kind of been glad he's doing as well as he has.
Can he win?
I think he could. It's like I was a couple of weeks ago when Paulie was kind of dominating everything and everyone was very on this PMP train. I thought, well, if Paulie wants to sit next to Paul at the end, I didn't think Paulie would have been able to beat Paul in the end. But that's why it's so interesting to now hear that Paulie's true ride or die bromance was Corey, because I mean, I think Paulie could have easily beaten Corey in a final two situation. Yeah. So
Alex, the Paulie and the Corey of it all, I mean, was that just sort of pushed together because that was the only person that didn't stab him in the back in Paulie's mind? Was that sort of like exaggerated with the relationship with him and Corey about how I would never turn on you? I was playing the loyalty game.
I think it's legit. I think that really was, you know, he was really trying to diversify. We even see tonight he talks about, like, I thought we were the detonators. And, like, he really did try to recreate Derek and Cody's game to a T. I mean, every step of the way he tried to kind of recreate season 16. And, yeah, one thing he did was he tried to have multiple Victorias and multiple Codys, and I think that became a problem when some of these people were a little more aware than Victoria or a little less willing to go to the end and finish in second than Cody. You have people who start to compare notes. And, you know, yeah, he's got this five guys alliance, the executives, but Paul was under the impression that Team PP superseded that. And then he compares notes with James and comes to find out that Paulie's final three with James and Corey seems very, very legit. So, yeah, that should have been a huge red flag to Paul. And he was right to, if not completely jump ship at that moment, certainly distance himself from Paulie at that point, because Paulie really was playing. I mean, he was doing what he accused Frank of doing for so long beforehand, and then Davon, and he filled that role and he got caught again, just like they did.
Correct. I love that moment where they were all having that argument around the table where he was talking about how I just thought it would be like the detonators and we could have it like Big Brother 16. And Michelle was like, Paulie, you'll never be Derek or Cody. that had to kill him.
That was the best quote. Michelle, you'll never be Cody or Derek.
Yeah, you won't even be your brother, which is like, you know, to be Cody is like what? I don't know.
That one got him too, man. He didn't have a good comeback ready for that. Well, you know, type thing. He didn't have anything ready to go.
Nobody could trust you anyway, so like, whatever. And then she's like doing like behind his back, like... like games exploding. Oh, it's great. It's great. So fun to see a meltdown like that in Big Brother. Corey, did you think that this would happen 2 weeks ago? Do you think there's any chance that Paulie was going to self-destruct like this?
Listen, I was very anti, like, let's have these five dude bros be the final five. I was like, if the ship's turning this way, I'm jumping ship. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't need to see five guys in the final. That, to me, is just so boring. I hate when it gets predictable. And I'm glad that this has happened. I mean, like I said, I was apparently dreaming about it, and it came true. So I'm very happy of what's happening now.
Yeah, you just have to wish hard enough. That's the key.
Can you see into the future for next week?
Yeah, I hope. I've said I'm just putting it out there. I'm interested to see who wins this next America's Care package. I'm interested to see if Paulie's got this one way or return round trip ticket sitting in his back pocket.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, so let's set the stage here for what's going on. So tomorrow night we have the round trip ticket, which is very much in play for one more week. It is possible that Paulie could open up the round trip ticket and then get voted out and come right back into the house, a la a Johnny Mac like last season. We also have this Friday night show, and so we don't know exactly what's going on there, but some more information came to light, Alex, that apparently it's going to be a Ziggy Marley concert. Are we sure it's not Zingy Marley that the Zingbot will be performing?
Yeah, Rob, it's a real concert they got going on down there. I don't know why it ties in, but it does.
Does Ziggy Marley, I'm going to sound like uninformed person, but what else is new? Does Ziggy Marley have his own songs, or does he just do like Bob Marley songs, like Frank Sinatra Jr. just like sang a bunch of Frank Sinatra songs?
He's definitely put out his own albums, but like people go to Ziggy Marley concerts and they're not like, let me hear your hits from Dragonfly. They're like Three Little Birds. You know what I mean?
They want him to do a lot of covers. What is the connection here, Corey? Why are we having a reggae concert in the middle of Big Brother 18?
This is the first I've heard of this, and I'm sitting here and I can't decide if you guys are BSing me or not.
We're not joking.
No. This is Friday's episode, I think.
I need to tweet at the Chen bot to like figure out what is happening?
I don't know if she knows. I don't know. But yeah, so there's going to be a Ziggy Marley concert. Now, I remember back in Big Brother 3, I was way into this at this point, when Sheryl Crow came into the backyard and performed I'm Gonna Soak Up the Sun. I was way into that. That was exciting. I think it was even on the feeds at the time of like, what's going on? Is Sheryl Crow really going in the backyard? Because she was like a big deal at the time. It wasn't like, you know, Sheryl Crow now or anything, with all due respect to the great Sheryl Crow. But it was like she had that was like a big song that summer in 2001. But why now, Alex?
Well, there's a lot of, the speculation is starting to run rampant online. There's a lot of tinfoil hat theories.
Redemption song?
Yeah, well, some people think, right, that Friday's, block of time was slated for the possible battle back. And people think maybe that if Paulie has the round trip ticket, that, this concert now would fill that chunk of time. Feeds went down on Monday and this concert happened. And apparently there's, some elements that were, I don't know if we really want to get into it until we get into spoilers, but,
So the concert already happened?
Yeah, it's already gone down.
And it wasn't on the feeds, right?
No, feeds went down for it. And that's why I think this is weird. It's like, well, Friday night's episode will have Paulie in it because we're going to be watching a concert he was present for. So it becomes, will it be like, a James in the diary room, like, man, 72 hours ago was crazy. Let me tell you, and do that thing. Or will they just, it's a lot of confusion right now.
Yeah.
I would much rather watch them just eat Outback Steakhouse again on Friday night than have to watch a Ziggy Marley concert.
I mean, how much is it going to be more concert than Big Brother?
I think there's like some element that I think it was set up as like a county fair. So there's like carnival games that may or may not impact the game.
It's like the end of Greece.
They haven't really been able to talk about it too much. So like, yeah, I have no idea what it's going to be. Friday's episode is this huge question mark as far as I'm concerned.
So, Corey, are you interested just for the curiosity of the state fair Friday night Ziggy Marley concert on CBS?
I always enjoy a good train wreck, Rob, so you should know that about me.
You're really excited. So, yeah, we'll see what they're going to do. I mean, it's not just like a special part of the Sunday night show, because they're always looking for filler, I feel like, in the Sunday night show, because they don't have that competition anymore. So that's why they're dragging out all these HOH competitions. It really seems crazy that they're going to add this extra hour of Big Brother just for Ziggy Marley.
And the fair is hosted by Mr. Pectacular, lest we bury the lead here.
Yes, yes. I saw he was getting into it with William Shatner about his return to Big Brother. Apparently, William Shatner was very closely following Mr. Pectacular.
How about that?
Yes. Yeah. Big Brother just really got very absurd at some point. All right. So hypothetically speaking, let's just talk about, Corey, if you had a dream that it was going to be Paulie staying in the house sometime on Thursday. Do you see any room where he could repair his reputation and get back into a person who's a viable player to win the game?
I mean, I don't know if there's any chance that he can kind of repair his reputation at this point, especially if he's coming back when a week when America gets to pick a co-HOH. I mean, worst case scenario is he wins HOH, America votes for someone else like Paul or Big Meech, and either Corey or Nicole goes home is what I would predict. And then I think he's just going to be treading water as long as he can, which I wouldn't think would be very long, unless he can win out. But
yeah. And of course, the other big thing of that Corey alluded to is this next care package, which is going to allow one person to be the co-HOH that America is going to vote for. This isn't Canada. We're not giving somebody a full HOH. We're just getting them to have a half HOH here with this care package. And so they get to pick one nominee, I guess, and then they're also safe from the block. Alex, I've seen a lot of people talking about how Big Brother fans should vote for Corey to get the care package for some reason. And I'm failing to follow the logic of why Big Brother fans should be voting for Corey to win the care package and not Corey Cole. That'd be fine with me.
Our buddy Taryn is one of these people. And I refer to him as Team Watch the World Burn. He just, he's anti-establishment. He wants to see power structures shake up. And now that there's a new established power structure, he wants that to be turned over to, even if it's people that we like in power right now.
So, because we want to see Nicole and Corey do like farewell in the game. I don't get it.
It's more about upheaval than who the upheaval affects, I think. It's just the idea of constant, the game being in constant flux.
I mean, wouldn't Nicole and Corey on the block against each other trying to both fight to stay in the house? Wouldn't it, whatever happened to that?
Hey, I agree. I mean, I'm not, you know, I'm saying what people think. I'm not advocating the position by any means.
Corey, do you have any interest in your namesake winning the America's Care Package?
No, I would. That's a big no for Corey winning anything from here on out, other than Nicole's heart, I guess.
Yeah.
No.
So, yeah, no, that's not what we want. I don't get it. I don't know why people are so like, we're really like trying to fix this to have a like, it would be the biggest shakeup. But sure, it's exciting if but it's not what we want to happen.
Well, it's like you go that long without the power being flipped on its head in the Big Brother house, and then it happens, and it's a little bit like your first hit of crack, Rob, where it's like, I need more. Give me more.
I mean, sure, we haven't had that much upheaval, and this was sort of like a big world-changing move that was made this week. But I'm fine with sort of like playing this out for another week or so, where I don't know if we need to see Nicole and Corey then get back up on, like, have a real resistance to what's going on with the five. And again, who's going to get voted out in that scenario, Alex? Aren't we going to lose somebody that we like?
It depends on who you like, I suppose. But yeah, odds are good, right? I mean, if you're somebody that was happy about the power shifting against Paulie, then, you know, his little core is him and Corey and Nicole.
Right. So. Like, if Nicole and Corey stay in the house for another week besides after this one, and then who's going to go out? Big Meech? I mean, why do I want to watch the show take Big Meech out instead of Corey?
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, something different. I don't know.
People need to relax.
It's not making me defend a position I don't agree with.
Corey, people just want too much excitement.
I guess so.
It's too much. All right, let's get into talking about the Zingbot. Of course, we all look forward to the Zingbot coming through. Are you a big Zingbot fan, Corey?
Zingbot's okay with me. I feel like...
Is he overrated?
Whoever writes the lines for Zingbot is the same person who feeds them the awful lines that they say in the diary room from time to time. I mean, it was interesting because I feel like this is the first season in a while where we got to see them zing everybody. I feel like they usually don't show one or two people get zinged. But we also knew that Victor was good. Like, if Victor's winning this veto, no one's going to discuss strategy about possibly using it. So they had to fill an hour worth of TV. And I'm happy they chose to do that by showing all the zings. But there were certainly some zings that were stronger than others.
Well, let's go through them. Let's grade the zings from the Zingbot this year. Okay.
I'm ready.
The first one was... Corey, I don't want to do the whole Zingbot voice because then the show will be an extra hour long if I talk as slow as the Zingbot. So, Corey, what do you call the man who sweeps Nicole off her feet? Hayden! Which, that was a good one. It was more of a sick burn on Nicole than Corey, but we'll take it.
Right. Well, the burn on Corey is that, like, we got nothing on you, dude. You've been in this house for weeks and weeks, and all we've got is a burn on Nicole.
Yeah, like with the goat.
They could have easily went after his faux hawk, which I think is like 10 years behind in the hairstyle fashions. But, I mean, you're right. There's not a whole lot to read Corey for, so.
Yeah, not much to go on with him. So they opened up with a shot at Nicole. Victor, that I was trying to think of the perfect word to describe you. It's best said in Spanish, to el douchebag, which I was really surprised the Zingbot went there with douchebag.
Yeah, I don't think that's proper Spanish either, but it could be mistaken.
Corey, did it surprise you? It feels like it went a little bit on the nose with the Zingbot there.
Yeah, I mean, that one definitely wasn't one of the strongest zings I've ever heard. And then I didn't need the like cut to Victor in the DR saying, I'm going to L winnow the veto. And
yeah, you're L stupid. He called him too. So yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I'll give that one a C minus, I think, for Victor. James, you love to scare people in the house. The people that you scared the most are Natalie's parents. This is pretty good.
Maybe I take it back. Maybe they needed to leave two or three out of the episode.
No, but then we'd be curious what they said. So I think that was a good one. I'll give that one a B. It's probably a true one also. I think sometimes they really stretch. I think that Natalie's parents are really like, yeah, what is going on here with this guy? Like, they can't be thrilled. Natalie maybe going into the going into some, where's she going to go, move to Texas and go live with James?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably a solid B minus, upgraded to a B when you think about how they're going to dwell on this for the next few weeks. Do your parents really hate me, you think? Or like, so that compounds, I think. It makes it a little better.
Yeah. Then, Paulie, anyone that says you're a less attractive, less smart, lesser version of Cody is correct. Your poor man's Cody. Again, a little on the nose, but I think Paulie needed to hear it.
I've had this argument with friends, especially right when he came into the house, but it was mostly just comparing looks at that point.
Mm-hmm. Who's the better looking, Cali Fury?
I actually think that Paulie is the better looking of the two, but
whoa.
I
mean,
he definitely, my brother Cody.
He definitely starts to lose points once he starts speaking. So,
what about once he gets the Paul haircut?
No, wasn't a fan.
Okay, so what do you say? So after seeing now Paulie for what, 8 weeks in the house, you still say Paulie the better looking Cali Fury?
Absolutely.
Okay,
if he would just stand there and keep his mouth shut.
So is it more is there something that you don't like about my brother Cody?
My brother Cody.
They're both very good looking gentlemen.
Yeah. Okay, then. Okay, big news. I have a Big Brother baby announcement. This one was sort of telegraphed the whole way. It sleeps all day, cries all night. It doesn't stop throwing up. It's Big Meech. What do you think of the Big Meech zing? You're nodding.
This was one of my favorite ones, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she loved it, though. She was so happy, Alex. Should people embrace their zings?
Yeah, she. Like I said.
Yeah, well, it's. I mean, you know, what's the alternative? She runs away and cries again? Like, this okay. is better.
Like I said, she coined herself vomit crybaby. So, I mean, that was the best part, was her reaction in the DR.
Yeah,
well, it was definitely the, you know, the joke was in the same rubric as I remember Andy Herenzing was, you know, like, it's pale, it floats around, and, you know, it's a ghost in the house. Oh, it's Andy. Yeah.
You know,
so I don't. The formula, I think, is getting a little predictable. Maybe
Corey, you coined many a hashtag on The Amazing Race. What did you think of the self-inflicted hashtag vomit crybaby from Big Meech?
That's like a 10 point or 10 stars or whatever you want to give it.
No bloaty.
I love that.
Yeah,
no bloaty. but I'll take a vomit crybaby hashtag any day of the week.
That's right. One of those hashtags you throw out there, and it's good enough to become like an episode title in The Amazing Race. Like, I guess I'm the vomit crybaby this year.
Yeah,
and that's like the name of the episode now.
I could see that. All right, so. Here's the one I think it was probably the biggest head scratcher of the night. Natalie, we know you're not the brightest bulb, but what you lack in smarts, you make up for in armpit hair. This is like when you ever watch like the Match Game and they have like a bad answer. It's like naive Natalie, we know she's not the brightest bulb, but what she lacks in smarts, she makes up for in blank. And everybody's like, okay. All right, we're going with some sort of comment like a Cali Fiore might come up with, and armpit hair.
Show me armpit hair.
Yeah,
number one answer on the
match.
Board. Who knew?
Yeah, Alec Baldwin is besides himself at the point you write in armpit hair on this question. Who knew?
I thought they were gonna. I mean, have you seen the clip? Somebody posted it from one of the feeds of her putting on deodorant. Because she's definitely like OCD with putting on deodorant, but they've yet to show it on the actual show. So, I mean, apparently she's got an armpit thing going on any way you look at it. But
okay. Alex,
I feel bad for Natalie. And also it's a little ridiculous that the show is going to make Polly a villain on Sunday night for body shaming her. And then Zingbot's going to be like coming in and doing the same
armpit
thing.
Shaming. that's not even a thing. So
I mean, she can't help the hair she grows there, Rob.
Well, hold on.
She doesn't have a Brazilian wax available this summer.
Yeah. So does Natalie have some sort of OCD about armpits, Alex? Is this an underreported story this season?
It's not like a major thing, but it is, you know, like Corey said, I think it is something she's conscious of. I think she gets waxes quite frequently when she's not in the Big Brother house, and that's not something you can do here. So she's left her own devices. And she's doing the best she can.
I will tweet out the like 30-second clip of her putting on deodorant, and she's like goes under each arm 30 times. Mm-hmm. It's a good 30-second clip.
Okay. Nice cakey layer.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's hot. It's been a very hot summer in the Big Brother house. Maybe she's worried that James might be offended. I don't think he will be. I don't think she has to worry. All right. Then Nicole, watching you on BB16 was a little tough. You threw your game away for a showmance. You were terrible in comps. You had no chance of winning at all. No, that's this season. That's like the Honest Trailers joke of it's the this, this, and this. Oh, wait, that's the last one. So that's what Nicole
that
got.
Good.
Pretty good, except, Corey, does this bother you that they tell her that she's throwing her game away for a showmance?
No, I mean, I think I felt like I had tweeted word for word what Zingbot said at one point. I thought he was just reading one of the tweets I sent out a few weeks ago.
Yeah, they just put one of your tweets up on the bottom of the screen that you were tweeting during the episode.
I think so.
Hey, I get what you're saying. Rob was like, is this the kind of thing that might make her like wake up and realize she needs to course correct in her game? Like, oh, wait, I'm being an idiot. But that never happens. We see Zingbot drop these kinds of things from time to time, and people just like do this mental gymnastics where they're like, that was mean, but that's not what's really going on here. You know what I mean? And they're able to like tell themselves that like, oh, they're just, you know, picking on me. But like, you know, this is different. You know, this isn't like last time at all or whatever, you know, so it's. I don't feel like she didn't like it, but I don't think she accepts that that's reality.
But I do think that it frames the conversation about the person where maybe the person themselves, like Nicole, isn't going to change her game up. But I do think that it changes the way people perceive her in the house, because I think that they start talking about Nicole, they're like, oh, she's not really playing that good game, or she's really sucks at competitions. And she threw her game away for a showmance just like last season. I don't like it when the Zingbot talks about the perception of the person. I feel like they should rather stick with the personal attacks, Zingbot. That's what we're paying you for. We don't need the podcast commentary. Don't take my job,
lane.
Zingbot. That's
stay
right.
In your lane.
That's right. All right. And then, of course, the Paul with the catchphrases of here's a new catchphrase, shut the F up. And that was like the Zingbot, like drop the mic after that one, Corey.
Yeah, that one was the best one. I was waiting. And I mean, there's so much you can work with Paul. I mean, he's been really fun to watch this summer. So I was hoping he would get a good zing. And I think that was the best one of the night.
Yeah. And Zingbot dropping a hard F in the Big Brother house. I'm sure that killed in the room as well. I think that's probably really good. But what I don't like about the Zingbot is that I feel like he does his thing and then he goes in the backyard and then he's like really like, then he's like completely quiet. Like he's like turned off whenever they have those competitions then.
They've plugged him in and he's recharging.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Natalie has to host. It's like, he's standing right there. Why can't he just continue hosting and carry, you know, to yes. finish your job?
Corey, what did you think of all these scandals the Zingbot is involved in?
I guess it's what you were saying earlier. I mean, I was thinking of classic Zingbot too. I mean, it was so romantic. He got married. He had a child. He was doing everything traditionally right, I guess is what they would say. And I mean, now he's wrapped in all these scandals and yeah, dropping F bombs and calling people douchebags. So, I mean, he's yeah. really trying to appeal to America for America's vote.
Yeah.
In the election, I mean.
Yeah, I wonder if we've
seen the winds of change, the way they're blowing. Yeah.
Yeah. It might have been fun if we got to see Zingbot's like a political opponent also, and they could have some sort of a debate.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then again, you know, politics, I feel like in this Twitter universe, I feel like that how well you zing, I feel like is an important part of the job. Maybe not so much like 20 years ago. I don't know how much like Ronald Reagan was, you know, working on his zings. But now I feel like if you want to be a politician, you need like a team of comedy writers like working on your like things to post on Twitter.
Increasingly relevant.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Zingbot is very topical these days. So the Zingbot, yeah, that he got caught with an intern. He was deleting zings from a private Zing server. He was embezzling zings. He was copying other people's zings. So really, one scandal after the next for the Zingbot.
Yeah, like this guy was. We were celebrating his son's first birthday, and it was like this really sweet, wholesome moment. Like, yeah. You know, that that little robot is probably in a dark room crying somewhere right now. Like, where's daddy?
Yeah. No, the Zingbot's sort of like a reality star where it was sort of like he came up and he was like sort of like just this guy that we were rooting for. And then the fame went to his head, and it's like this horrible, like E! True Hollywood story at this point. Or Zingbot. Yeah. All right. So in terms of the prizes, we talked about some of the costumes. The $5,000 that James took instead of the veto. Corey, do you have any issue with James keeping the $5,000 and not taking the veto away from Paulie?
No, I mean, I honestly, I feel like James probably threw it when it was down to the two of them, because if you're a fan of the show, it, you know that that fifth prize is either a vacation or some sort of money or something good. Mm-hmm. And when it's down to two people in your alliance, yeah, let Victor be the bad guy. Let Victor win the veto. I would have done the same thing.
Yeah, they're hitting like all 30s and high 20s. And then that final round was what, like, oh, you beat me 8-3. Good game, buddy. Like, yeah. If I'm Paulie there, I'm just like, damn it.
Yeah. I like that Natalie was like, congratulations, James, on winning the $5,000. And by that, I mean, congratulations, me, on winning the $5,000. Great job. So yeah. We'll see how that ultimately ties in with the James and Natalie of it all.
I love when someone's hosting it, like just in general. I love when someone's given the role of hosting the Big Brother competition. And it's like you have a script, but they just decide to break it anyway and just kind of throw in their own things.
Yeah. Alex, one of the things I had read on Twitter tonight that I was tweeted, I don't have the person who sent it to me, that Natalie was sort of throwing off Paulie and Corey when they were going. She was doing like the equivalent of like, hey, batter, 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 to throw them off before they did their tosses in the veto competition.
Yeah, well, the shoe's on the other foot now. It's like, you know, Paul, it's funny because Paulie is really like the guy that brought this idea to the dance. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm going to rattle somebody and I'm going to try to do things to like throw you off your game and stuff. And I mean, he kind of recognized it a little bit tonight, although it's funny he chose that conversation because that conversation was like, he chose to try to have a game conversation in the kitchen where everyone's there. So bad form, not a good idea.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, this is what happens, man. You, you know, the chickens come home to roost at some point.
Can't imagine that he was too happy with Natalie after that. Typical Jersey girl that trying to throw me off my own game. So, Corey, now we have this punishment that Paulie has to do. Bake apple pies the rest of the summer. Where do you rank this in terms of the great costumes and punishments that Big Brother has come up with over the years?
I mean, I'm a fan of anything that if they're going to make them carry it on for the rest of the year. I always wonder, I mean, obviously the first few days they're doing it every like hour on the hour. Or at least that's the perception they show us on TV. But it's like, I feel like even the producers forget, like a week later down the road, they're like, oh yeah, we can make Paulie make a pie right now if we want. I'm a fan of it. I also like the scene of him just crying in the kitchen making the pies. I mean, that was pretty great.
I gotta bake pies for the rest of the summer whenever I hear Zingbot's anthem.
I gotta bake pies. Alex, I know you guys talked about this on the live feed show. Paulie did say on the episode tonight, like, I'm not going to do it. But then we did see him baking the pie. So how much coaxing did it take to get him to start baking the pies?
Decent amount of coaxing, Rob. You know, they're expert coaxers in the diary room. They really know how to take someone who's, you know, cashed in all their chips and is really over it and turn them into someone who's willing to do stupid things for them. It's pretty amazing when you really think about it, because Paulie is he's got no reason to want to play ball right now, but they got him on board eventually.
What do they do with the pies after they get made? Does anybody have to eat the pies?
Well, the idea is for people to eat the pies. People really haven't been eating the pies, though, and I think it's for the most part, I think it has been bothering Paulie a little bit. I even saw a moment the other day, it was like Paul's like, dude, I'll take a bite just because friendship. Like, well, that's sad, man. Forget at that point.
Does anybody want a slice of this pie? I've been working, slaving on this hot stove all day, and nobody wants to try the pie.
Clearly, the worst part by far is like having to cut the fresh apples. Like, that takes forever. What a nightmare! Like,
does he have to peel them also?
I think you're supposed to. He's not doing that. I don't think he's gonna follow all like. You know, I don't think Gordon Ramsay would approve of, like, all the steps he's taking right now, but what are you going to do?
I know this is a live feed thing, but why? And then why did he have no pants on when he was making the pies the other day? Corey, did you see any of these screenshots? Did those cross your radar?
I mean, I might have stumbled across, like, naked Paulie making pies. I mean, I wasn't searching for it, but I might have stumbled across it.
Yeah. Doesn't this seem like a Board of Health violation, Alex?
Yeah, I don't want any part of that pie.
Yes, that's exactly why people aren't eating the pie.
That has to do with it, that if a man makes you an apple pie with no pants on, that the last time somebody tried this, it was Jason Biggs in 1999.
Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't want seconds of that.
No. Or thirds, or American Pie, Miracle Mile, or whatever it was.
But, right. You know, as good as that was, you know, him deciding to make a bare-assed pie, arguably better was Paul being forced to frisk the bare-assed baker.
Yeah, okay. All right, so let's start to head into some of these questions from you guys that we have here tonight. And why don't we start with Benjamin Beckwith, who says, can Natalie be the first player since Dr. Will to win the game without an HOV or, HOV, an HOH or a POV? I combined them into the carpool lane. All right. We haven't talked a lot about Natalie's game. Corey, do you think that Natalie can go the distance here?
It's so tough. I mean, honestly, it would depend. I do think she can win. It's just going to be who she's sitting next to. I don't think she can beat James if it's the two of them in the final two, and I hope she realizes that. Because at this point, I would be okay with Natalie winning. I think of the three girls left in the game, she's probably playing the best game of the three of them. But it's going to be she's going to have to make some big moves, and it's all going to depend on who she wants to take to sit next to her.
Yeah, Alex, I feel like we haven't explored this too much on the show, the James and Natalie final two. Do you see it the same way, that it's the old Big Brother trope of if a man and a woman get to the finals together, the jury's going to vote for the man?
Probably, although I think that this isn't necessarily that cut and dry. I think James being a returning player plays a role. I think James having a pre-existing relationship with Davon and maybe some of these jurors is a factor. You know, like James knew Derek and Derek knew Pauly. Like there's elements here that take it beyond gender, but I think it probably would go that way. It's frustrating because I, you know, no doubt in my mind, Natalie has played a superior game to James up to this point, but James has had more opportunities thrown at him. More people have wanted to work with him since the beginning of the game. Natalie's had to basically every opportunity that's come Natalie's way, including the showmance with James, she's had to kind of create for herself in this game.
But are we forgetting that if Natalie says to James, hey, I'll go out with you if you let me win, and then James begs the jury to all vote for Natalie to win the game? Did we forget that?
I want second place, y'all. That's Texas code. That yeah. I came for second, and that's what I'm going to do is I'm going to leave with second.
Yeah. Corey, do you think that he would throw the competition, or at least throw the final tribal council or the final jury vote?
Gosh, I mean, I hadn't considered that. I mean, I would be okay with that if a girl ends up winning, I guess.
I guess so. Sure.
I think Natalie would be a great winner. But yeah, it is right. It's the path to get there in such a way that she doesn't, you know, make enemies and then also have people respect her game at the end and then be sitting there with someone who's not like, you know, I mean, even though she's played a better game, it's like, you know, the Nicoles, the Jameses, some of these people have like just extenuating things that could come up if they were to get to final two.
Could you Gosh. Imagine the pressure, though, in that final two, Corey? That would be like a 3 deodorant day.
It would be more than 30 seconds worth of application for sure.
Could be the whole first hour of the live finale. Okay, yeah. Let's take one from Wesley Lester, who says, assuming Pauly goes home and we have a jury buyback, who would be the one to cause up the most drama or shake up the house to return? So, all right, I guess, is this including Pauly in this question, Alex, do you think?
I think so. And I feel like he's probably the
I mean, nobody else. I guess Davon is a close
Davon
second.
Davon could be a wild card. But
Davon
yeah,
could
I mean,
be a
right.
wild card.
Bridget's certainly not going to come in and just like tear the house down.
Corey, are you rooting for anybody to come back?
I'm not. I mean, I would be. I guess I would be okay with Davon coming back if we had to have a jury buyback situation. It's tough because I wasn't a big fan of the Battle of the Block because of the advantage that the fourth and the fifth place person had. I mean, even though yes, Victor was the one who won it, it's just like Tiffany only had to win once and suddenly she's back in. And I don't ever want someone who's immediately sent home to be the person to come right back in. That's not exciting for me.
Yeah, I'm trying to think through of the best case scenario here if there was somebody to come back. I feel like Pauly coming back is just going to be more of the same. Zakiya coming back does not seem interesting. Bridget coming back, I don't know, might be fun for like a day, but I don't really know what we're getting. But I do think that Davon coming back would be interesting because what does Davon have? It's just like, here's this complete wild card that really he doesn't have a lot of loyalty other than maybe to Big Meech in the entire house. Yeah. It's almost like she's like a person from another season to just drop in there. That might be fun, right, Alex?
Yeah, I mean, it really is because, right, that was like such a different game a few weeks ago when Davon was playing it. This is like it almost is a different season. Everything has changed. People who didn't seem to have any interest in playing the game and who I had written off for dead a couple weeks ago are now seemingly front runners. So, yeah, it's funny how that can work in the
game. Yeah. Corey, who do you think has more connections in this game, Davon or Ziggy Marley?
I'm really hoping Ziggy Marley wins the buyback Friday. I mean, I really think he'll mix it up.
Yeah, it could be good. All right, he'll be jamming. All right, Not Kevin says, how legit is Pauly's playbook? Is the rattle strategy anywhere near practical? Okay, Corey, do you like the rattle strategy? Did you employ it ever on The Amazing Race?
It's funny because I was watching that and I was trying to compare it to when we were on the race and in one situation when we were in Bali, when we were all carrying coconuts and chickens and we were running across this little bridge, Tyler and I were for sure shaking the bridge as hard as we could when we were passing other teams.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can't blame him for using that as his last ditch effort. I mean, he's got very few moves he can make at this moment. So I admire him for at least fighting a little bit and not pulling like an Audrey and just laying in the have not room in a hoodie with glasses and a hat.
Right. He didn't go full blanket this week. All right. This is from Jeffrey Taliaferro. How should Paul have responded when Paul Lee asked him if he would take him off the block if he won the veto? Should he have said yes and continued to throw the comp? So there was that moment early in the episode where Paul Lee asked Paul, so if I win the, if you win the veto, will you take me down? And Paul was like, I got to see. And it was not a great, it was like, just really terrible. I felt kind of bad where Paul was just like doing the thing where he was like trying to make it seem like he was just trying to like change the narrative onto like that Paulie screwed him over first. And that's why that he betrayed him. But how do you think that Paul should have answered that question, Corey?
I mean, it's tough. I think he did it the best way that he could. I mean, it's a tough situation. And I think they both know where the other stands at this point in the game. I was really kind of impressed with the way when Paul and James and Natalie and Meech were all in the room saying, let's go rattle Pauly. And then Paul kind of instigated it in the kitchen there. I mean, I think that was a great move. He didn't really confront Pauly or called him out. He kind of went on himself and said, I'm mad at you because of this. And it was such a well-played way of getting that conversation to be brought up and then letting other people chime in. I mean, it was a little awkward for Paul because he didn't know what to say in that veto situation. But I mean, I wouldn't have told Pauly straight up, like, I'm going to save you either. At that point, I think they both just knew what was happening.
Yeah. The other really great moment with that was when then Pauly got house guest choice and he said, Meech, you going to save me? And she's like, no. That was great. All right. This is from Kieran Caspian. Why is Pauly more broken up about Corey being on the block than Nicole? Yeah. Or about when Zakiya was on the block either. So he was very upset about this, that not just that he was up on the block, but they put his boy up on the block too, Corey. Very sad.
Yeah. I'm just, like I said, I'm just so surprised that this bromance is that real enough to like cry about in the bathroom and like hugging each other. It's just, I would have never expected that. And I was trying to remember like episode one or two, which guy that Corey was saying was really good looking. I'm like, is that how it all started? Was it Pauly he thought was the really good looking guy, or was it Victor?
Alex, do you remember?
I feel like it was probably Pauly, but Corey's made a few of these comments all season, really, that are just kind of like, where, you know, it's like Victor or Pauly, or it's just like, oh, he's got a nice ass. You're just like, okay Corey, all right.
All right.
You know, and like Nicole will be like talking to him about like relationships and stuff, and he'll just be like, nice ass, bro. You know, it's always very funny, but it's.
All right, let's do one more and then get into the spoilers. This is from Michael GM. It says, who has the best odds of winning the co-HOH, Paul or Big Meech? Corey, can you call this? What's the will of the people right now?
It's funny. I was really dead set thinking that Paul had this like co-HOH in the bag. And then I was starting to talk to some of my friends this week who are also like super fans of the show. And they're kind of in that group of people with the tides turning, kind of rooting for Big Meech in this moment. And I would honestly be happy with either of them doing it. I think it would be a shock to the rest of the house guests if Big Meech came out with this America's Care package. So part of me is like, that would be a more interesting way to go. And I kind of wonder if it would hurt Paul's game at all to win this America's Care package. So I would be fine with either, but I was kind of surprised this week too when some of my friends were saying that they were voting for Big Meech for this one.
Okay. Alex, I saw you tweet in the chat or post in the chat room that you think it'll be Victor. Is that who you're rooting for, or you think that Victor has a good shot to get this?
Well, everything I've seen seems to, like the polls that I've seen, and obviously you take those with a grain of salt because they're, you know, every poll that's out there really is a very small percentage relative to the number of people that are going on CBS.com to vote, let alone the fact that everyone gets 20 votes a day on there. Mm-hmm. But I think I've seen a lot of sites endorsing Victor. I know we talked about it on the podcast a bit, and most polls seem to favor him. I think, you know, a lot of the reason there is that people are thinking, you know, well, if we vote for Michelle, we vote for Paul, we're splitting the votes. If one of them wins HOH, then it goes to the next person down the list. Before you know it, it could end up in Corey's hands somehow. So Victor is a safe bet because Victor won't even be playing in the HOH competition coming off of HOH. So you know mm-hmm. he can't win HOH. So the co-HOH is always going to be available for Victor.
Well, I don't want to sound too much like the Zingbot, but I'm going to say ignore those crooked polls. The polls are lying to you. Paul is going to get the care package this week. It goes by what the TV viewers are seeing between that clip when he was dancing around with the floaty around, not the bloaty, with the floaty around in the diary room, to tonight when he was going through everything with the red alert over and over and over again. Then he is going to be the person who is going to get the care package from America. Yes. Yes. Pat him down. He's getting the care package.
Checkpoint one is clear.
Yes. We're clear. Okay. Actually, I want to do the live feeds. Okay. So we're going to jump into talking about the live feeds and a little bit, you know, what do we have, Alex? Not too much to report, right? Just hang
much.
In there. Don't go anywhere. We're going to do the live feeds right now and talk about what's going to be coming up for the Thursday show. If you're jumping out here now, Ali Lasher joins us tomorrow night with Brent Wolgamott to talk about the live eviction show. Be sure to check your local listings. A lot of CBS preseason football happening on Thursday night, so make sure that your DVR is set in case you're not watching live. Or if you're planning on watching live, just make sure there's going to be a Big Brother on live to watch. And without further ado, let's get into the spoilers.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
I'm going to make an apple pie out of the taboo buzzer. Hold on. Let me peel it, core it. Okay. Put that in the
cry
in
on
the
it.
Oven.
Yeah. Peeling okay. is excessive, Rob. Paulie doesn't have time for that.
Yeah. Look. I don't have time for peeling. I'm too busy.
This is
I've
a
got
damn
good apple pie. Okay.
I've got a campaign to save my life in this game. I don't have time for these pots.
Yeah, look, I was bred for this.
Bred for this.
But this is baking, so... okay. So there's something there with I was bred for this and baking bread, but I can't find it.
Now his game is toast.
Now
somebody
game, yeah,
tweeted
now
that
toast.
To me. I thought that was pretty good.
All right. So, Alex, all right. So at this hour, what's the update here with the Pauly watch?
Pretty much Paulie is depending on the possibility of the round trip ticket, which he seems like potentially to like think there's a real shot. I did notice that's the last message we get in tonight's episode was Paulie saying like, unless I've got the round trip ticket. And you know, Paulie's been very down, and then this morning he left the DR like thinking that he got a hint that they were telling him that he has the ticket. So people have been going nuts just on the speculation of it alone. I don't know that there's anything there, but you know, that seems to be his best bet to, you know, have a life in this game.
Yeah, a lot of people are thinking that maybe it's the case. We had this past week on Twitter.
My brother Cody
tweeted August 13th. Paulie has the round trip ticket. No doubt. Not even a doubt, Corey.
Yeah, I was reading too, just the whole like, does Paulie have it, and the kind of speculation there with the way that they do lockdowns and everything. And I was talking to some friends, and I'm like, I would treat my round trip ticket like my fanny pack on The Amazing Race. The second I had that thing, I would be keeping it with me at all times for any lockdowns, anything.
Yeah, it's interesting because I mean, you might have it or you might not have it. I don't know necessarily if you felt like production was going to help you or not.
Yeah.
So we don't know. We don't know what's happening.
I've also seen some people suggest that what everyone else should do is open their envelope. Like, all get together and basically pull the, like void Paulie's ticket by proxy. You know, it's like if we all open our envelopes and his is no good either. But, I mean, really, that would be like, that's like the Willy Hance, like, we're going to rebel against the game. Like, it doesn't really
Well, no,
happen.
But wouldn't that be a great idea, Alex, if everybody else who wasn't Paulie got together and said, let's all open our ticket tonight. The ticket expires. We know the ticket expires. there's no penalty for opening the ticket other than our tickets are voided. If they open it and Paul is like, oh, round trip ticket, your boy, friendship, not pissed. At least then they know he's not coming back and they could do whatever. They
don't have to, got it. Can't use it. Never cared.
Over it. Didn't care. It's over. You're a D-Hay. So he's got a million of them. But yeah, I think that or would production just go eight poop just, over this?
Right. Yeah. Fish come up and like they're just like, all right, shut it down. You never know what goes down when they like go to the fish tank. But
yeah,
I mean, for all they know, they send like big, scary guys in there to intimidate them. We don't know what happens. You know?
Yeah, we don't know what happens. Yeah. So Paul has that idea. Cut to. All right, Bronte, so tell me if you would rather go back into the house and then have America hate you, and then you could go ahead for 10 hours of Jeff, and then we'll see. But Paul's like, bad idea, over it.
Okay. Come back to him. I never thought that was something we should do.
All right, so let's take a look at the vote count for tomorrow night, Alex. So we have – this is still 7 people or 8 people in the house?
8.
This is 8. All right, so there'll be 5 votes. And so are the votes going to be unanimous against Paulie?
Seems like it, yep.
Okay.
Seems that way. Although, of all people, Nicole said, well, if you just want a sympathy vote, let me know. Nicole, you're voting for Corey. There's no scenario where you're not voting to keep Corey. Get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Stop it.
All right, so has there been any talk of the speeches? I'm sure that in true Califiori fashion, I'm sure that there is a lot of talk about like, and then I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to say this, and I'll say this.
I think his hope is still like before it comes to speech. I think he's hoping to like maybe get together some kind of like last minute house meeting or really try to rally something. He's thinking there might be a shot that a couple people are entertaining the idea of voting for him. Really, I think they're just placating him. Paul, for one. Meech, maybe, you know, like he's grasping right now. Or I think he thinks, you know, maybe James would be, you know, would entertain the idea. I do think, you know, there is a part of Paul and Victor that would like to keep him. They recognize that Nicole and Corey is a real pair and Paulie's a bit of a free agent, even if he's a threatening free agent, that they could kind of pull in because he doesn't have anywhere else to go. But it would just, you know, there's no way to get those votes together, I don't think. And even if there was, like, you would have to really, you know, pull a Paulie and, like, burn all your social capital in the house to make it come together.
Corey, will Big Brother Corey be able to string a sentence together to tell people why they should vote to save him tomorrow night?
I can't imagine that it'll be anything great. Yeah, there haven't been a lot of great speeches that have been aired this season, if I'm being completely honest.
No, it's been a rough season for the speeches. Really, Paul hasn't been in the first couple of weeks. He was on the block every week, but now we haven't seen him on the block. So he's probably the one person that could give a good speech. We saw Tiffany gave a couple of good speeches along the way.
And really, when you think about it, all Corey's best moments weren't a product of Corey himself. It was like the way they edited what Corey had to say, or like them adding jingle bells to him being nominated, or silly things like that. It was never a product of him himself.
Yeah. Alex, anything major else going on the feeds? You want to take a couple more questions?
Nothing too major. I think, you know, right now it's just a question of kind of, you know, who's going to win HOH. People are starting to kind of speculate about where this goes. Obviously, very interesting that Nicole has talked about how much she'll freak out if, you know, something were to happen with this next care package and it were to go to basically anyone not named Corey at this point. She's talked about like, oh, I couldn't see it going to Victor or Meech or Natalie or or Paul or basically anyone else who's eligible. So that could be interesting. And then also just the presence of actually, I don't know where I was going.
Okay. Corey, we haven't talked a lot about Nicole tonight. Do you have any strong or negative feelings about Nicole? You're kind of indifferent to her at this point.
I wasn't happy to see her back at the beginning of the year. I mean, she was one of those players that I didn't really enjoy the first time she went through. And then the fact that she came back and chose to somehow play. I think she's playing a worse game this time because I feel like at least she won some competitions in her original season. I mean, I think they kind of feared her and called her a competition beast the first time around. And it's like this time, the only thing she's won was voted for. I mean, she didn't even really win that very first HOH. They just kind of picked her to have it of the three people. So she is definitely an interesting one. I'm not really rooting for her to win.
No, yeah. I think you're absolutely right. Like, I think an interesting thing about her game in BB16 that is why people supported her was like, yeah, maybe she wasn't the best player then, and maybe she did kind of, you know, throw away, you know, a bit of her game or a bit of her social relationships that might have told her what was going on or clued her in when she spent so much time with Hayden. But at least in BB16, when she became abundantly aware that the fix was in and that she was in trouble, she tried to play and she tried to act. And we saw on tonight's episode, she's standing in the kitchen when these five guys are talking about their five bros to the end deal. And like, does she walk in the back room and say like, well, I guess they had an alliance. Yeah. But does she care? No. All she's like, is, I can't believe Corey's up there. This sucks. Like, it's really discouraging.
I was a little worried that this was going to turn into like when Jordan won her season or when Rachel Riley won her season, where it's like they got clipped from their partner and then just kind of made their way to the end and ended up winning. I'm like really praying that doesn't happen with Nicole this season, because I just don't think she's played a well enough game this deep into the season.
Alex, so in terms of Corey and Nicole, where are they going after this eviction? Let's presume Paulie goes out and then he doesn't come right back in on Thursday, Friday. So what's their next move? Are they trying to pair back up with James and Natalie?
Yeah, I think, you know, just more than anything by default, it's like they never really had any kind of real working relationship, at least as a Nicole Corey duo with the Pauls or the Victors. If anything, they always talk about how Victor is an annoying third wheel for their relationship, that he likes to come in and mess with them. So no, I mean, like, you know, Corey's friendship with James that goes back to Paulie bringing those three guys together, I think, is what he's going to fall back on, because that's what he knows.
Yeah. Corey, do you see a major problem for Victor and Paul coming out of this week?
I really don't even not. Well, maybe for Victor, but not so much Paul. Like, even if Paulie has the round trip ticket and comes back in and one of those guys or Corey, Nicole or Paulie ends up with the HOH, I honestly feel like they would target James and Victor before Paul. I think Paul and Big Meech are both in a really good position at this point, because there's so few people, you have to just go after those pairs. And it's, Paul's doing a very good job of playing everyone. And I think Meech by default's kind of in that similar place too.
Yeah, I can definitely see Nicole and Corey wanting to get Victor out for sure. And I think that, you know, Michelle is actually in a position where she could ingratiate herself back to Nicole, because Nicole really doesn't have anyone to go to either. She just needs to get off of this. Like, it's funny because Michelle, when she had this, it's a bit like the Bridget thing, only with Bridget, she wouldn't talk to her. And then she was kind of like making fun of her. With Michelle, with Nicole, they're hanging out together. They're the only two have-nots, so they're kind of forced to hang out together. But like, even when they're spending time together, she's like making jokes about how she called her a snake and stuff. Like, it's not like she could be doing a little bit better to like just smooth it over.
All right. So that's going to pretty much be it for tonight. Anything else that you guys wanted to touch on with this tonight's episode before we get to the eviction tomorrow?
I was surprised that we went through the whole veto competition and nobody brought up Paulie reading the clue as a patriotrad instead of a trad,
the Zingbot, wanted a do-over after that one. Yeah,
yeah, that was great. I think, you know, we talked about it a little bit, but it needs to be really emphasized going into this next week. That care package, that co-HOH care package, is going to be so pivotal, because, you know, Corey and Nicole, I mean, one of those people could win HOH, and very easily their showmance is going out the door regardless of what they think is going on.
And then correct me if I'm wrong, then the fifth care package is kind of lame. It's a $5,000 check to bribe people with, Alex?
Yeah, it's like money, in-game currency that has to be used that week. It's very, very limited in terms of its the ramifications.
Corey, do you think that's going to sway anybody of like, hey, here's $5,000 to do something for me?
Well, the funny thing is, when I read that, I was wondering if it's like contractually obligated by the show. Like, if they said, hey, James, here's $5,000, vote for me to stay, is James allowed to say, okay, I'm going to take the money and then go back on his word? Or are the producers like holding them to whatever they agree to for this bribe?
I got to think they'd let the proverbial Survivor Fiji truck scenario happen if it were to happen, where the promise is like, that's good TV. How could you deny the promise right. that is
Yao Man disagrees.
Well, yeah. It's bad, you know, personal psychology for those involved, but it is good TV.
Okay.
Yeah.
Corey, can you tell me a little bit about Big Sister?
Yeah. So I was going to say, actually, when we went through casting for The Amazing Race, I had told all the casting people that I did like a Big Brother style game for my 30th birthday, which was last year. And they were all like super excited, and because they wanted fans of these shows to actually be cast, even though they were doing this like social media season. And I think they did a very good job of casting those people. But anyway, so I, as I've said at the beginning, I've always been a fan of the Big Three, and like a friend of a friend invited me to kind of play again over the summer. So we did it over like a 3-day weekend back in June and filmed the whole thing. And it's got YouTube episodes going up weekly, and it's just like the show. They've kind of changed some of the terms, I think, just for legal purposes, but it's essentially Big Brother, and they did a great job of quote unquote casting it, because it was all like friends of friends. So it was just like the game. We were all pretty much strangers going in.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
And this is just something that you were one of the contestants on.
Yeah. So I competed just like being on the show, I guess. And there were like 12 of us invited to be in this house in Big Bear, California. And they said, go. And it was just like Big Brother. So
okay. What's the YouTube channel? How can we find this?
If you just look up Reality Revamp TV on YouTube, it's there. And there were 4 episodes in. They've been putting it up weekly, like Tuesday nights. And we're 4 episodes in, and I think there'll be like 8 or 9 episodes total. Awesome.
And you were the messiah of the house in Big Sister?
I guess you'll have to wait and see.
You were the Jose? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would be the Glenn.
First one out.
First one out. All right. Well, Corey, thank you so much for coming on to talk about this with us. Very fun to get your take on everything. Of course, you can follow Corey on Twitter at Corey Cole. Anything else that you know in particular you want to tell people to check out?
No, I was going to say I was just thankful that you invited me. Like I said, I'm always down to chat any of these shows or any of the episodes, because I've seen them all from day one. So
okay, are you excited about the millennials versus the Gen Xers?
I was, of course, looking at all the cast today and like reading up and watching some of the videos. I mean, I'm always excited when Survivor comes back, and I've heard great things about this upcoming season and the one next spring too that they've already filmed. So definitely looking forward to it.
All right. Well, Josh Wigler and I will have our cast preview, not a cast assessment, but we're going to talk about a season preview podcast, hopefully sometime in the next 24 hours. Be on the lookout for that, talking about Survivor 33. There's Alex Kidwell at Alex Kidwell. Alex, anything else tonight?
No.
You got a hashtag?
I see the chat room saying the Corey that doesn't suck.
No. Okay. That Corey. Yeah. Okay. That's good. Okay. Yeah. All right. I wasn't sure where the chat room was going with this. Okay.
Not Christmas Corey. That guy's clearly the beta. I like
the Corey that doesn't suck. Good. I don't want to get into armpit shaming or anything like that. The Corey that doesn't suck. Thank you guys so much for watching. Of course, Ali Lasher is going to join us tomorrow night to talk about this all with Brent Wolgamott live after the eviction at 10:15 p.m. Eastern time. Check your local listings and make sure Big Brother is on before you sit down on the couch and get ready to watch it. Otherwise, we'll be live on Thursday. And you know what? We're going to do a show on Friday night, too. We'll cover the Ziggy Marley concert here on the podcast as well to talk about what a disaster that might be. So look for that Friday night. Have a good one, everybody. Take care.